Hello and welcome to the Rush Into the Conclusion podcast, where we introduce academic study to A-level history. I'm your host, Harry Dorr, and today I'm joined by my colleagues, Megan Singleton, Evie Derbyshire and Verity Bernard. Today we'll be taking the Soviet show trials and specifically their historiography to expand on understanding the Stalinism, politics and control topic in the AQA, revolution and dictatorship option. Following this, we'll be focusing on the experiences of show trial individuals Nikolai Bukharin and Anna Larina in an attempt to broaden the historiography to focus on women as victims as well, moving away from the traditional outlook of men at the centre of the trials in history. Megan, Evie and Verity have each taken a key period in the writing of Russian history, and by presenting each, we can begin to establish change and continuity in historiography. Why were the trials important? How has the perception of the trials changed over time? How does this fit into our case study, and why this is all relevant? So can each of you introduce yourself and the period you studied?
Hi, I'm Megan, and I'm focusing on the 50s and 60s historiography just after the death of Stalin.
Hey, I'm Evie, and I did some research into what historians were saying about the show trials in the 90s and the context around this period.
Hello, I'm Verity, and I've been investigating the implications of the 21st century on the historiography of the Russian show trials.
Perfect. Thank you all for joining me. So you may be wondering what the show trials exactly were. Well, AQA defines the show trials as humiliations to Stalin's political threats. They allowed him to root out internal opposition and consolidate his control across Russia. They were key to his methods of control, and although done before, the purges of 1936 to 38 were by far his largest and most influential. So starting with the 1950s and 60s, Megan, what does the historiography say about the show trials?
So by looking at the 50s and 60s in more detail, it emphasises Stalin's strive to keep himself in power through him conducting a purge on any key threat to his political regime. This historiography specifically emphasises the severe degrees in which individuals were targeted in an unjustifiable way, with evidence often being fabricated in order for Stalin to give reasons for their persecutions.
So for our listeners, under what contexts was this historiography written?
So a wide range of the historiography around this time about the show trials was written shortly after the de-Stalinisation period, so there was therefore less censorship than there had been in the past. As a result, many people began to speak out more openly about the trials, with historians starting to form more open opinions about the events than they had done in previous years.
Okay, so historians felt they could speak more on the trials than before.
Yes, definitely. So the 50s and 60s has become a period whereby we start to see those killed within the show trials as victims opposed to just criminals. New theories about this has therefore emerged, including Cohen's fabrication theory, linking back to my earlier point about evidence being fabricated to secure prosecutions, executions and arrests. We can therefore see that the context that historians wrote in was one of change, a shift of leadership between Stalin and Malenkov, which therefore enabled historians to speak more openly about the trials and what occurred as a result.
Okay, so for you, which had a greater impact on the historiography? Was it the process of de-Stalinisation or the fact that the USSR was still operating?
So that's a very tough question because there are loads of different points that can be mentioned here. But personally, I would say that the de-Stalinisation of Russia had more of an impact on the historiography than Russia still being in the USSR.
Is there any particular reason why?
So if we look at both points here, the de-Stalinisation has allowed for a shift towards a more specific focus on the victims of the trials, with historiography zooming in on Stalin's beliefs and attitudes at the time. This has later become a common theme within historiography, which we'll see from both Evie and Verity. The fact that Russia was still in the USSR, on the other hand, allowed for a variety of different nations to share more collective beliefs as to the trials. This has therefore influenced historiography, with the Cold War being the driving force behind the hindrance of knowledge as to what was fully going on within Russia, both at the time of the trials, as well as when the historiography was being written later on. So, like, if we wrap that all up, overall, I would say that the de-Stalinisation had the most impact due to it providing the foundations in which historians were able to speak more openly about the topic without fear.
Thank you, Megan. Okay, so as we move into the 90s, there's one obvious shift in historiography, which is the opening of the Soviet archives. Why is this so important to the position of historians, Evie?
Yeah, so the opening of the archives gave historians access to primary evidence. So things that they hadn't really seen before, things like interrogations and transcripts and political documents. So before the archives were opened, historiography was often based around ideological or speculative evidence. But when the archives were opened, historians were able to revise previous evidence and create stronger analysis of events. So the archives created this new revisionist history that used the newly accessible local histories to place the show trials within the context of Russia at the time.
Is there anyone in particular that you're thinking of?
Yeah, so take J. Arch Getty, for example. He's a revisionist historian who used the newly available information from the archives to argue that the show trials were a result of both political and social factors, not just Stalin himself. He talks about Bukharin and believes that his trial was not necessarily down to Stalin having a personal motive, but more that Bukharin was caught up in a wave of political instability within the Communist Party.
OK, so we can obviously see this clearing path, but what shifts do we see? Is there change? Is there continuity?
A little bit of both, really. Obviously, the revisionist camp has started, but some historians continued with the totalitarian perspective of Stalin as an individual, arguing that he personally dictated the trials and generally emphasising his personal role.
But if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one, I'd say on the whole we do see a shift and a change in the historical landscape of this topic. Revisionist historians seem to come to consensus and support the idea that the trials were part of a deeper and broader process within the party and society, not necessarily just orchestrated by Stalin.
So obviously if there's this large shift, I'm sure it brought along a lot of new key historians.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you, who is the most important in influencing the historiography?
Well, there's some big players in revisionist history. Fitzpatrick, for example, she does a really good job of outlining the key ideas that are formed during this period.
Now, how about Robert Service? Obviously, he has clear links to the University of York. His son currently researches here.
Yeah, you're right. So Robert Service based his writing on both the idea that was circulating before and after opening the archives. His work acknowledges Stalin's role in orchestrating the trials, that essentially Stalin wanted to eliminate political rivals and consolidate his power. But Service also places the trials within the wider context of the time in terms of the broader party dynamics, making him, in my opinion, a really key historian of this period. And I don't think you could study this period without acknowledging or using his work.
So overall, for you, is this the most important period for history writing in Russia?
I think the 1990s acted as almost a watershed moment for historiography, and it's certainly transformative, but whether it was the most important kind of depends on how you evaluate the word importance. So when we look at how the landscape changed, we've got the opening and closing of the archives. That obviously was a big moment in the world of historiography. It kind of threw a curveball into the mix, and all of a sudden historians had a new bank of resources that were only available for this cohort of historians. But actually, we need to consider important features of other periods of historiography as well to really answer this question.
What do you mean by this?
Well, as Megan's told us, in the 50s and 60s, there was a contemporary lens to look at the show trials. And equally, the 21st century is a period of digitalisation and increased access to resources. So obviously, this is also really important.
So if you had to summarise...
So really, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the most important period of historiography is subjected to how you want to use the research and what you want to say about the show trials. You can then pick your historiography accordingly.
Thank you, Evie. So if the 90s were a watershed moment for historiography, Verity, what significant changes do we see in the 21st century?
One of the most significant changes of the 21st century is definitely the election of Putin in the year 2000. It led to a real resurgence of Soviet nostalgia.
And I'm guessing this shifted historical interest.
Yes, definitely. It created a real growing interest in the psychological elements of the show trials. So what I mean by that is like the role of torture, the ideological implications of the show trials, and it also increased the interest in the impact on international communism, communisms within other countries.
And I'm guessing then this massively changed how the historiography was written.
Yes, it did, but the ways that the historiography changed isn't just linked to Putin. One of the real turning points is the linguistic turn. So what I mean by this is that there was a rising interest in the 2000s in cultural history, using feminist theory to look at history. Micro histories were really moving away from some of the macro lenses used through the 20th century and towards a more bottom-up approach where historians are looking at the wider sector of society and the implications on the public.
So if Putin isn't the driving factor of historiographical change, what is, or who is?
Well, one of the biggest drivers was the archives reclosure in the year 2000. It actually sadly slowed down the debate. A lot of the revisionism of the 90s lost its steam, and it all slowed down. However, to go more recent for you, in light of the war in Ukraine, there's been a 2023 Ukrainian History Global Initiative set up, historians coming together to study Ukrainian history without Russia. And this is all part of a changing global context.
How is this global context changing? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that there is now a global democratic decline. The number and stabilities of democracies around the world are falling at a faster and faster rate. In the last 4 years, democracy has suffered setbacks in over 50% of countries, when we consider the most recent year of Trump and the collapse of the French and German governments. There is clearly evidence of a democratic backsliding.
So we've had these changes, and we obviously continue to have them. So how do you see a historian in 2024 writing about the show trials?
Well, I think Russian historians in particular are going to face a new struggle in writing their own histories in a country that is only becoming increasingly totalitarian and aggressive on the world stage. International historians, however, will still have an opportunity to reassess the legacy of Stalin. His legacies and the legacies of things like the show trials might possibly be taken even more seriously as we watch the world slip into old patterns of democratic instability. And along with our historical subaltern trends, we are, some say, moving into an era of post-postmodernism. Revisionism is becoming less relevant, so we might have new theories replace the old ones.
So in a world veering towards populism, I guess the question is there still a place for pluralism in our historical interpretations?
Well, I think with that question, we are going to have to wait and see.
Thank you, Verity. So we're now going to move on to our case study so that we can conceptualise the historiography in accordance with a real lived experience. Nikolai Bukharin was a Bolshevik theorist active in the party's leadership from 1917 until his purge in the mid to late 30s. Once favoured by Stalin for his opposition of Trotsky, he was accused of spying and wrecking and using ties to German fascists to destroy the USSR, among many other crimes. Bukharin was the last major political execution in the Great Purge, and he represented the end of Stalin's consolidation of power. However, who is often left out of the story when discussing the purges is the impact they had on the families of the victims. Anna Larina was Bukharin's third wife, and her incredibly in-depth memoir, This I Cannot Forget, details her experience of the trials and punishments just for being his wife. Megan, what ways did she suffer?
So Anna spent 20 years in gulags and in exile, facing considerable mistreatment throughout this time. Her initial time spent in the Tromps camp between 1937 and 38 included packed conditions, which she refers to in her memoirs as real torture, where roughly 4,000 wives were crammed into freezing coal barracks.
So after hearing this, Evie, would you say the torture was primarily physical, or was it also characterised by the Soviet mental games?
I mean, obviously it was both. The institution facilitated the physical breakdown of the body with intentions to crack the mental capacity for free will. You know, Larina believed that her husband was given injections to weaken his willpower. And if you ask me which one was worse, it would have to be the mental torture. Larina herself thought that she would end it all by moving to the prison in Moscow where her husband was kept. The mental culture of self-surveillance clearly impacted everyone in the camps and kept people in fear and in line.
For the listeners then, Verity, can you just summarise how Anna's experience fits into Russian historiography?
Yes, of course. Experiences like Anna's continue to be generally ignored from Russian historiography. The focus continues to marginalise the experience of wives and children. Despite the trauma that they live, their husbands are primarily the centre when investigating the impact of the show trials. This isn't to say that they all didn't suffer. It's just to say that there is clearly still a disparity that needs to be addressed. I mean, it's only thanks to memoirs like Larina's that the historiography can now begin to broaden.
Okay, so we are nearly out of time, so I just have one last question for you all, and I guess it is, why is this all relevant? Verity, start us off.
Well, with populist parties now existing in all 27 EU member states, and with the rise of the far right and anti-democratic practices, it is now of the utmost prevalence to understand how dictatorial regimes function and why they sometimes stay in power for as long as they do.
Evie?
Yeah, obviously in today's world, we are living through the rise of Putin and his similar usage of political terror. Litvinenko is a similar example of what's going on, and the targeting, the use of arrest, the murder and fear. And Stalin had his means of terror, and in many ways, Putin has the same.
And finally, Megan.
Yeah, so summarising both what Evie and Verity have said is the prevention of historical amnesia, making sure that what's known in regards to history is still known for years to come, despite what individual countries do with the information they have. I guess that's the whole point of studying history, isn't it?
Well, thank you all for joining me. And that marks the end of our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed and learned along the way. I'd like to thank Megan, Evie and Verity for joining me. And for further information on the topic or what we researched, please check the description below. Thank you all for listening.